Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, how are you today? I hope that you are fine for today on 1st February 2019 with me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine, listeners. And today for this edition, we would like to present some program information, news, commentary, and other information, also entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. So for today, listeners, we hope that all of you are fine and you are still listening our program, listeners. And now we begin our program with our news. Stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. The president reminds young generation not to forget the national identity. Indonesia sends protest note to Vanuatu for smuggling separatists in delegation. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Donald Pani. Indonesian President Joko Widodo attended the inauguration of 2019 Green Festival on Thursday at the Jakarta Convention Center. The event was attended by thousands of millennial generations who came from various backgrounds, both young entrepreneurs and students. The president conveyed the challenges from the development era that is increasingly fast. The progress was marked by the Industrial Revolution 4.0. According to the president, the progress of this era has had an impact on changes the global political, social, and economic landscape. To the millennial generation, the president advised that Indonesia's young generation can follow every change that occurs in the world.
Ikuti terus perubahan-perubahan itu. Pelajari terus agar kita tidak...
Continue to follow those changes. Continue to learn so that we are not left behind by other countries. But don't change your personality. Don't change your Indonesian character. Our nation is a nation that is ethical, civilized, full of manners. Don't lose the Indonesian character.
Kesopan santunan itu yang jangan sampai hilang karakter keindonesiaan itu.
Green Fest 2019 is a green festival that is supported by state enterprises with the aim to inspire and increase the awareness of the Indonesian people to start a healthy lifestyle through activities that protect the environment and urban farming that is simple, easy, and very enjoyable. The series of Green Fest events consist of urban farming showcase and workshop, and also talk show with experts in the field of urban farming. The Indonesian government has sent a note of protest to the government of Vanuatu for smuggling Papuan separatist Benny Wenda into the South Pacific Nations delegation while meeting the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Michelle Bachelet Jeria. The note of protest was sent because Vanuatu was considered not respecting the Indonesian sovereignty by supporting the Papua separatist movement. Indonesian Foreign First Minister Retno LP Marsudi sat on Thursday. Marsudi told the press following a hearing with the House of Representatives that a Vanuatu government had no good intention by smuggling Wenda in its delegation while meeting with the UN High Commissioner. The minister stated that Wenda used patterns of manipulative means and fake news. Meanwhile, Indonesian ambassador to the UN in Geneva, Hassan Cliff, in a press statement on Wednesday, slammed Vanuatu for deceiving Jeria. He said Indonesia strongly condemns Vanuatu's action, which deliberately deceived the High Commissioner by taking manipulative steps through the infiltration of Wenda into the Vanuatu delegation. Chief of the Indonesian Defense Forces, Marshal Hadi Cahyanto, said that military will strengthen security measures in 16 regions considered prone to conflict during the election process period. The Indonesian Defense Forces commander stated after chairing a leadership meeting of Defense Force at its headquarters in Cilangkap, East Jakarta on Thursday, the military has received the Election Vulnerability Index. There are 16 regions that have been mapped out in cooperation with the police. He stated that the military and the Indonesian police will continue to carry a synergy in order to make the upcoming simultaneous legislative and presidential elections successful, peaceful, and safe. The three-day meeting of Indonesian Defense Forces and Police Leadership Meeting was officially opened by President Joko Widodo at the State Palace. Indonesia will organize simultaneous legislative elections and presidential elections on April 17 this year. The General Election Commission KPU has appointed 8 panelists comprising academicians and NGO activists for the second presidential candidate debate to be held on February 17. The panelists consisted of 6 academicians and 2 NGO activists, Wahyu Setiawan, Commissioner of KPU, sat on Thursday. The 6 academicians are the rector of the 10 November Institute of Technology, director of the Bogor Institute of Bogor, an academician from the University of Erlangga, an academician from the University of Gajah Mada, an academician from the Bandung Institute of Technology, and from the University of Diponegoro, respectively. The 2 NGO activists are respectively from the Indonesian Environmental Forum and the Consortium for Agrarian Development. From 5 series of debate, the first debate was on January 17, 2019. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati dismissed opinion that infrastructure development projects in Indonesia are dependent on foreign debt, as the government has various funding alternatives. Speaking in front of market operators and investors in a forum on Thursday, Indrawati stated that the government has developed funding concepts for infrastructure projects based on the public-private partnership KBPU. She took the example of infrastructure guarantee concept to fund 22 infrastructure projects worth 200 trillion rupiahs. Other funding concepts under the public-private partnership scheme are the project development fund for 15 projects worth 54 trillion rupiahs, viability gap fund which is applied in 3 projects worth 1.07 trillion rupiahs, and affability payment in 9 projects worth 24.8 trillion rupiahs. Mulyani said her party also uses special vehicle institutions to facilitate the funding, such as PT Sarana Multi Infrastructure (SMI) and PT Penjaminan Infrastructure Indonesia (PII). SMI and PII will bridge cooperation between the government and private sector under the KPBU scheme in order to ensure the private sector on the government's credibility to develop infrastructure project. Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi has expressed optimism that non-tax state revenues in the transportation sector this year will increase to 8.6 trillion rupiahs from 8.2 trillion a year earlier. However, the non-tax state revenues should not burden the public, and the ministry is considering which are subjected to fees and those that are not. He said the ministry will make optimum use of non-tax state revenue potentials in the sea transportation sector that contributed to the largest the ministry's non-tax state revenues last year. He said, in addition to increasing state revenues, non-tax state revenues from the transportation sector are also needed to improve state agencies' services to the public. In the transportation sector, the non-tax state revenues could be used to develop infrastructure, including airports and ports in the foremost, backward, and outer regions, and to improve other public services. The minister further stated that nearly 35% of the state budget allocations for the ministry will be used to develop railway lines. Vice President M. Yusuf Kalla visited Palu, Central Sulawesi Province on Thursday to monitor the temporary shelters constructed for earthquake and tsunami victims. Kalla, flanked by Public Works and Public Housing Minister Basuki Hadimulyono and Central Sulawesi Governor Langki Janggola, toured the location of the shelters in Duyu Village and went inside one of the shelters to see the condition of the house built by the Public Works and Public Housing Ministry. He also chaired a coordinating meeting to discuss finalization of past disaster reconstruction plan. A magnitude 7.4 earthquake and a subsequent tsunami struck the district of Palu, Donggala, Sigi, and Parigi Mutong in Central Sulawesi on September 28, 2018. The Central Sulawesi earthquake and tsunami claimed 2,102 lives injured 4,612 and rendered 680 others missing. A total of 68,451 homes were seriously damaged and 70,994 people were displaced. Well, listener, that was the news.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Planned for the Second Meeting Between Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un. After much speculation, the second meeting between U.S. President Donald Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un looks set to take place. This follows the U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo telling U.S. television the meeting would be held later this month. During this interview, Pompeo said the location was yet to be determined, but he had sent a team to prepare for a meeting somewhere in Asia. This may end up, too, by mere showmanship, as the director of the National Intelligence Agency, Dan Coats, revealed so far there had been no progress on the issue of nuclear disarmament. In these reports, the director said he doubts North Korea is serious about disarming its nuclear arsenal. Within the intelligence forecast of the annual Worldwide Threat Assessment, the report admitted North Korea was at least no longer carrying out provocative nuclear tests of previous years. The court's report is suspected by the United States Defense Intelligence Agency. However, President Donald Trump criticized the U.S. intelligence report on his social media accounts. Trump wrote on Twitter that the talks last year had made a difference and he was looking forward to meeting North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. President Trump also rejected the intelligence claims that ISIS had the potential to rebuild in Syria. Based on Pompeo's statement, the second meeting between the leaders at least provides a hope of a breakthrough in the settlement of the current peninsula. However, the talks could be cancelled at any time if reports North Korea is continuing its nuclear program are proven correct, or if President Trump changes his attitude and trusts the intelligence reports he received from his government defense agencies. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Let's start today in history by reflecting on Ayatollah Khomeini went back to Iran on February 1, 1979. After 15 years in exile in France, finally the spiritual leader of the Shia community, Ayatollah Khomeini, returned to Iran on February 1, 1979. The return of the charismatic leader came after the fall of the Shah Pahlavi dynasty, after massive demonstrations and political turmoil in Iran. Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini was praised as a national hero by the Iranian people, especially the Shiites. On April 1, 1979, Ayatollah Khomeini founded the Islamic Republic of Iran. Next, turn to another historical event on February 1, 2001, the Columbia Space Shuttle exploded. The United States Columbia Space Shuttle exploded in the air when it landed at Kennedy Space Station, Florida, the United States, on February 1, 2003. Seven astronauts of Columbia crew were killed. The U.S. National Space Agency NASA official said that the accident occurred when the 1981 aircraft was at an altitude of 60,000 feet from the Earth, at a speed of 20,000 kilometers per hour. We end today in history for today with an event about the King Gyanendra of Nepal committed coup d'etat of February the 1st. We end today in history for today with an event about the King Gyanendra of Nepal committed coup d'etat of February on February the 1st, 2005. Nepalese King Gyanendra, who seized power in a coup on February 1, 2005, suspended democracy and censored the media. He said that he was forced to take action to put an end to the Maoist insurgency, which has left at least 12,500 people dead since 1996. But Gyanendra did not try to do approaching the rebels or entering into agreements with the seven political parties. Listener, that was Today in History.
Aku tak mengerti apa yang ku rasa. Rindu yang tak pernah begitu hebatnya. Aku mencintaimu lebih dari yang kau tahu. Meski kau takkan pernah tahu. Aku persembahkan hidupku untukmu. Namun
Listeners, that's the song entitled Pupus by Dewa. You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. In today's edition, I would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia entitled Indonesia asks Japan to exempt fish import duty to the country. The Indonesian government has asked Japan to free up Indonesian import duty on marine and fishery products. The average import duty is around 7%. The request was conveyed by the Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, Susi Pujastuti, at the Japan Business and Investment Forum at the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, Jakarta, on Tuesday, January 29. According to Minister Susi, the imposition of import duties by Japan was considered burdensome. She explained the impact was not only on Indonesian businessmen, but also Japanese businessmen. This will make it difficult for Japanese entrepreneurs if they want to relocate their business in Indonesia. Japanese businessmen who relocated to Indonesia and then exported to their own countries would be subject to import duty from Japan. According to Minister Susi Pujastuti, Japan should provide 0% import duty for all fishery products from Indonesia. This is because Indonesia's policies to combat illegal fishing are already good and fast and is appropriate to the global criteria. Minister Susi believes that Japanese investments in the capture fishery sector in the country, especially tuna commodities, will increase if the elimination of the tariffs is carried out. Responding to the request, President Director of the Japan External Trade Organization, JETRO, Keisei Suzuki, said that Indonesia would get an exemption from import duty if it joined the Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP. The Business Investment Forum also discussed strengthening Indonesia's fish export to Japan. Director General of Strengthening Maritime and Fishery Products Competitiveness, Rifki Effendi Hardianto, said, "The Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries hope that the export of national fishery commodities sent to Japan would not only be dominated by regions in western Indonesia, but also eastern Indonesia. Currently, many Indonesian fisheries export are traditionally carried out from Jakarta, Surabaya, and Bali. According to Rifki Effendi, various regions in eastern Indonesia that have most potential to directly export to Japan, including Makassar, South Sulawesi, and Manado, North Sulawesi." The Business Investment Forum was attended by 13 companies engaged in manufacturing and logistics, which were initiated by the Japanese External Trade Organization, JETRO. In addition, various companies of Indonesia which are engaged in processing, transportation, and trade also present at the event. That was My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Saat menjelang hari-hari bahagiamu, aku memilih untuk diam dalam sepiku. Saat mereka tertawa di atas pedihku tentang cintaku yang telah pergi tinggalkanku. Aku tak peduli, sungguh tak peduli, inilah jalan hidupku. Ini aku
Kau genggam hatiku, simpan di dalam lubuk hatimu. Tak tersisa untuk diriku, habis semua rasa di dada. Selamat tinggal, kisah tak berujung. Kini ku kan berhenti berharap. Perpisahan kali ini untukku akan menjadi kisah sedih yang tak berujung.
Indonesia.
Listeners, you have already listened music from Glenn Fredly with title Sedih Tak Berujung. You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, then I would like to present next segment, and this is Indonesian Wonder. This is about tourism and also local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Hello listener, in today's Indonesian Wonder, we will introduce you to Bukit Nato or Nato Hill. Listener, Tanah Toraja is one of regencies in South Sulawesi Province, which become one of the leading tourism destinations in South Sulawesi. Not only offers the existing local wisdom and culture, Tanah Toraja also offers tourism attractions with natural, religious nuances as well as culinary. For those who are looking for natural attractions, you can visit Bukit Nato in Tanah Toraja. This tourist attraction not only offers the natural beauty, but also educational tourism. Bukit Nato is located 7 kilometers from Rantepao, the capital of North Toraja. It takes about 25 minutes by car. The access to Bukit Nato is also easy because you can use public transportation, commonly called PT-PT, as well as two-wheel taxi or ojek. To get to North Toraja from Makassar City, it can be reached by land or air transportations. During in Bukit Nato, you will see full views of the beauty of Toraja panorama from the height. After being satisfied to enjoy the beauty of the natural panorama, you can spend your time by relaxing and enjoying the fresh air of the hills. For those who like to take pictures, Bukit Nato offers a number of very interesting photographic objects. From a number of photo spots at Bukit Nato, Rumah Hobbit is one of the most popular. You also can enjoy the sensation of photography on a pedicab with a nature background and clouds on an altitude of 1,300 meters above sea level that have been provided by manager of Bukit Nato. To make your holiday more enjoyable, there are still colorful hanging hammocks as a place to relax or selfie. Traveling to Bukit Nato, there is also available an educational facility, namely the Rumah Baca, or Reading House, a library which was designed like a natural building in the forest. There are hundreds of book titles which are provided to those who like reading while enjoying the scenery and atmosphere around the park. For those who want to spend the night in this area, you are also allowed to set up the tent. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. See you and bye for now.
Voice of Indonesia.
Dalam langkah kau pernah sendiri, Pencipta pertemukan kita lagi. Amarah ada, laparam sudah, sukacita ada dalam kita. Berlayar menuju tujuan yang telah pasti, berlabuh untuk satu dalam cinta di sini. Berdua kita arungi kehidupan yang harus dijalani. Terlatih kita dalam kasih, apapun yang terjadi, setia pada janji. Tak usah kau bayangkan lagi, karena kita sudah ada di sini. Percaya saja, jangan ragukan cinta itu ada dalam kita. Thank you. setia pada janji.
Voice of Indonesia.
It was sung by Adinda Salahita and Barry Likumahua with title Untuk Satu. And listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voynews.id. We would like to give you another information about interesting tourism that happens in Indonesia. Hello listeners of Voice of Indonesia, welcome back in Miscellany. Today, we will inform you about Mina Padi from Indonesia Goes Global. So stay tuned with us on www.voynews.id. Mina Padi system that has been developed in Indonesia since 2015 is increasingly gaining attention from many countries. The system that combines fishery and agriculture is in demand by 13 countries in Asia-Pacific region. Many countries have specifically studied the Mina Padi in Indonesia and immediately came to the location that was used as a pilot by the Indonesian government. There are 13 countries interested in developing the Mina Padi in their respective countries, such as Bangladesh, Cambodia, Laos, Myanmar, Nepal, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, Thailand, the Philippines, Timor Leste, and Vietnam. Director General of Fishery at the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, Slamet Subakyo, said that since Indonesia has been appointed by the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, or FAO, as a reference for the development model for the Asia-Pacific, the international world began to observe the method. Indonesia is considered successful in developing Mina Padi. By the government, the program has become a priority program to support food security. The appointment by the FAO, according to Slamet, had a positive impact on Indonesia internationally. Indonesia plays a major role to provide positive contribution in a bid to meet global food needs through innovation in the Mina Padi development. The Mina Padi innovation done by Indonesia is in line with the World Program, namely Sustainable Development Goals, or SDGs. FAO representative for Asia-Pacific, Women Miao, explained FAO's decision to campaign the MENA paddy system throughout the world was indeed motivated by the success of Indonesia in developing the innovation. The success has made Indonesia as the main destination for MENA paddy concept reference, especially in Asia-Pacific countries. Meanwhile, FAO representative for Indonesia, Stephen Rudgard, said that innovation made by Indonesia through the MENA paddy system is expected to be a strategy for the world to improve food security globally. Therefore, even though the system is only the first in the world, it turns out to be very suitable to be applied in 193 countries in the world. That was miscellany for today with the topic MENA paddy from Indonesia goes global. We will meet again with another interesting topic. See you!
Kini dirimu.
Voice of Indonesia.
Menunggu di sini, di sudut sekolah, tempat yang kau janjikan. Ingin jumpa denganku, walau mencuri waktu. Berdusta pada guru, ada semut merah yang berbaris di dinding, menatapku curiga. Seakan penutannya sedang apa di sini, menanti pacar jawabku. Takkan terlupa kisah kasih di sekolah dengan si dia. Tiada masa paling indah, masa-masa di sekolah. Tiada kisah paling indah, kisah kasih di sekolah. Aku malu pada semut merah yang berbaris di dinding, menatapku curiga. Seakan penutannya sedang apa di sini, menanti pacar jawabku. Sungguh aneh tapi nyata, takkan terlupa kisah kasih di sekolah dengan si dia. Tiada masa paling indah, masa-masa di sekolah. Tiada kisah paling indah, kisah kasih di sekolah. Tiada masa paling indah, masa-masa di sekolah. Tiada kisah paling indah, kisah kasih di sekolah. Masa-masa paling indah, kasih di sekolah,
you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, next segment would like to give you information about music and this related to traditional music.
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners of Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to the segment of Music Corner. In today's season, we will present a song to you entitled Sa Jojo from Papua by Martin Mailoa. In general, this song tells the story about a beautiful girl in a village who loved and pride by her parents, community, and men in her village. Sa Jojo is one of popular songs from Papua. Not only in Papua, Sa Jojo is also known in other regions in Indonesia, even abroad. The song is also used as accompaniment of Papuan traditional dance with the same name, Sa Jojo dance. Sa Jojo dance is usually performed on the entertainment stage or to welcome guests or tourists who come to Papua. Here is Martin Mailoa with his song entitled Sa Jojo.
You more than a bomb, you're my sunshine.
Listeners, this is the right time for me to wrap up our program, and this is at the end of our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our program, and we'll give you another interesting information. So stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, in this case, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice _of_Indonesia, Twitter at voinindonesia, and email voi@voinews.id.